again, friends. This is episode 31 in our bi-weekly series of the Saving Christianity podcast. And we're the podcast for Christians who want a return to the same peace, healing, and hope that the first Christians had when Christianity was founded. And we're coming to you today from Christian Family Online, bringing you a new episode every other Tuesday. I'm your host, John Shields. I'm here in the studio with our co-host, Owen Allen, and our producer, Shannon Wolf. Thank you for being with us today. The episode is the first of two episodes telling you how the early Christians worshiped and how their worship is what made them so spiritual. This is a fascinating episode today. The problem is many Christians today worship in a format that doesn't make them spiritual, and we call that unspiritual worship, and that's the mystery that we're going to solve in this episode. So I hope that you're intrigued already by the title of this. We've given the episode the title, The Mystery of Unspiritual Worship. That's right, the mystery of unspiritual worship. It could be that you didn't even realize that there was something called unspiritual worship, but we're going to unpack that fascinating subject today, and we want to bring in to the conversation our co-host, Owen Allen. Owen, welcome to episode 31.
Well, thank you, John. It's fantastic to be here. And let me say to all of our friends out in podcast land, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show. It's my honor and my blessing to be here talking with you. You might be one of our friends in Boston or Miami or Dallas or San Jose, or you might be one of our friends in Nairobi or Pretoria or Tokyo or Stockholm, but wherever you are. As you listen to these words, I want you to know that we care for you and that we're recording these episodes to help you as much as we can. But getting to our subject now, John, to tell the truth, all Christian worship is a beautiful mystery. But unspiritual worship is the biggest mystery of all, because it's what happens when people try to worship without the proper structure. So, John, which thread of this tangled web do you want us to pull out first?
Well, Owen, many of our friends know, if they've been listening, they know that your field of study and expertise is organizational behavior. And they also know that you have strong feelings about the way the structure of a worship meeting helps or hurts its level of spirituality. And we've talked about that.
Yeah.
So why don't we just pull out the structure or design thread first? Let's look at that.
Okay, let's do. So why don't we just lay a little foundation here to talk about worship designs. We can call it structures or designs. By giving our friends a historical fact about worship, and that fact is this: worshiping God is the only way Christians can grow spiritually. In other words, meeting for worship with other Christians of like mind is the activity that helps Christians grow spiritually the most. And you know, John, I've thought about this for many years. That statement may confuse some of our friends because, frankly, a lot of people think that things like, say, going to Sunday school helps them grow spiritually. But the early Christians didn't have Sunday schools. Other people think that going to bookstores and buying Christian books, we all do that, helps them grow spiritually. But the early Christians didn't have books and didn't have bookstores, and indeed, many of them couldn't read and write. Other people think that reading the Bible helps them grow spiritually, but the early Christians didn't have Bibles. Think about this a minute. Yet, despite the fact that the early Christians did not have all the advantages that we have today, they were still the most spiritual people in history at that time. So, what made them so spiritual? And the answer is, the only thing they could do and did do was meet for worship, and that's what made them spiritual. You know, John, I think that's such an important principle, we ought to repeat it. Meeting for worship is what makes Christians spiritual.
Yes. And of course, it is true that the early Christians ate meals together. They prayed together. They had water baptisms. We know that from the record. They celebrated the Lord's Supper. But the thing they did most and the most successfully was meet for worship.
That's right, and that's the point, and that's where our big mystery begins, because think about it now, John. Christians meet for worship today, too, but it doesn't seem to help them much, and because a lot of today's worship is the unspiritual kind that we're talking about. In other words, a lot of it doesn't have any spiritual power.
Yeah. Oh, and I hate to say this again. Mm-hmm. We've quoted this many times, that Christians don't seem very spiritual these days. And Gallup poll shows that the average Christian today, every time I read this, I'm just kind of shocked, is no more spiritual than a non-Christian. That doesn't even seem plausible, but we know that it is. And that's the mystery. And that's what we're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And here's the question we want to answer. Why doesn't today's worship help Christians grow spiritually the same way it helped the early Christians grow spiritually? Now, that's a valid question. Let's say it again. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't today's worship help Christians grow spiritually the same way it helped the early Christians grow spiritually?
That's powerful, John.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, to be deathbed honest, we already know a small part of the answer. Mm-hmm. Part of the answer is that today many Christians don't meet for worship.
Right.
So, and that's been especially true since the 2020 and 2021 COVID lockdowns worldwide.
Right.
In fact, you know, John, I've heard it estimated that today only about 10% of the population meets for regular Christian worship.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And so one reason then that many Christians aren't spiritual is they're not meeting for worship. They're not doing the thing that would make them spiritual.
Yeah, that's startling, isn't it?
Yeah.
But absenteeism can't be the whole answer, Owen, right? For why today's worship doesn't help people spiritually. You know, because many Christians do meet for worship several times a year, such as Christmas and Easter and weddings and funerals. So when you add these irregular worshipers to the regular worshipers, it seems as if Christians as a group should be at least a little more spiritual than non-Christians. Is that right?
Well, you know, it seems that way. I mean, that's what I would have said. But the bad news is the Gallup polls say that's not true.
Right. Well, that leaves us with a tragic conclusion, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Christian worship, at least the way it's done today, doesn't work. It doesn't help Christians grow spiritually. And that's the mystery that we need to solve. And as we said, I think from the very first podcast, very number one, Owen, we are not here to talk about the problem. We are always in this posture of solution. So stay with us now as we address the problem, knowing that we are always moving toward the solution.
Exactly. Well, here's our first clue then, John, to the big mystery of why today's worship services or meetings do not help Christians grow spiritually. And that is because Christian worship today is very different from the kind of worship the early Christians had. And if it looks to me, if we can identify the main differences in early Christian worship, we'll be able to see and understand why today's worship is not that spiritual.
Okay, Owen. Well, then that brings a new question.
Yeah.
So what's different about today's worship compared to the kind of worship the early Christians had?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're always going back to them. They are our model, our template, etc. But so what's different about today's worship compared to the kind of worship the early Christians had?
Lord, I love that question,
yes.
John. That's going to really put it on the table. Well, to see those differences, we need to recognize a simple idea, and that is that the early Christians had a special structure or design for their worship. And hold on, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit gave them that design on the very day that Christianity was founded. Now, remember, John, in earlier episodes, we've talked a lot about organizational structure. One of the things we said that the design of a meeting, and that means the way that it's physically arranged, shows the purpose of that meeting. I mean, think about this. In other words, think about the place where a meeting is held, the number of people who are invited to the meeting, the kind of furniture that's used in the room, the kind of leadership that's being applied in the group, even the noise level of a room, whether or not food or refreshments are being served. This is what we mean by the physical arrangements, and they, hold on, reveal the purpose of the meeting.
Wow.
I've often said it this way. The physical design of a meeting is a kind of unconscious body language that shows what the meeting planners really expect from the meeting. It shows the result that they want from that meeting.
Wow. Now, I'm not sure that's something that is talked about very much, Owen.
Well,
so let's start our comparison. Let's just describe the design that early Christians had for their worship meetings. In a nutshell, their design was, we know from the scripture, from the historical record, that it was spontaneous, it was informal, it was participative, it had a small group design to it. They met in private homes. Those are some of those significant features of the early worship. And Owen, I was thinking about, I think it was Churchill that said, we shape our buildings and then our buildings shape us.
Good.
So how was the first century worship shaped?
And that was it right there, John.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing because, see, I think the fact that it was spontaneous, not rehearsed, it was informal, not rigid, it was participative, observing, I call it, is not a spectator structure.
Right.
And the biggest points we're going to come back to over and over, John, was that fact that it was a small group design and they met in small private homes. And that design shows the purpose that was expected from those meetings. And here it was.
Right.
They expected every man, woman, and child to participate directly in the worship and to contribute directly to the worship. And so the result, what does that tell us? What result did they want?
Right.
They expected every man, woman, and child to grow spiritually from the worship. And John, that's exciting.
Yes.
But let's dig deeper into this small group design. You remember, we'll mention this in a moment, but our two previous episodes were about small group design. And because that is the point, the purpose they were after was to allow every man, woman, and child to worship in the Spirit. And I believe that should be the purpose of all Christian worship in every nation, in every century. That should be the result we're expecting.
Yes.
So just let me say here that, again, episodes 29 and 30 that we recorded previously, our friends should go and listen to those and learn a lot more about small groups, because the two are linked. Small groups and spiritual worship are linked.
Yeah. Owen, you know, as we were talking about this, again, not trying to ring the negative bell here, but I just don't think this is something that the average believer, a Christian, mm-hmm. even thinks of.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's even on the radar when it comes to this worship.
And, you know, John, here's a specific point that we need to get out. Any worship design in any century must allow that special worship attitude that we've talked about so much,
right,
that all Christians must have in order to truly worship. And so any worship design that does not allow that special attitude that we're going to speak of now, that special attitude, is not a good design for worship.
Yeah, that's true. Our friends, I think, Owen, we need to know that Christian worship is a special attitude. Mm-hmm. It's a unique state of mind.
Yeah.
And all worship designs must allow that state of mind to be expressed by worshipers.
Yeah.
Now, Owen, it brings me to another question. And what is that state of mind?
Yeah, what is it?
Right? In early Christianity, we know the word worship actually came from a root word that meant dog. You did hear me right. So to the early Christians, worship was an attitude whose underlying mindset was to kiss the master's face and lay at his feet like a loving dog.
Glory.
And I can instantly see that. I experience that really on a daily basis with our dog. To the early Christians, worship was an attitude of humility. It was tenderness, openness, sensitivity. And in the informal small group design they used, let worshipers express that kind of an attitude.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, John.
Mm.
Well, and also, let's pile on here. We can make a couple more connections, because we said that what we want this podcast to do, you mentioned that earlier,
right,
is to help our friends walk the deeper walk, it's called.
Yes.
And we've said that means, let's define that means to experience more spiritual emotions, gifts, and experiences in their lives. So if we tie that together, the purpose of worship and the purpose of small groups is to help Christians walk the deeper walk by letting them, notice that word, permitting them, allowing them to have more and deeper spiritual experiences. And why wouldn't you want that?
Right.
So that means that a worship design must allow that. It must open the door for more and deeper experiences. In reverse, a worship design that prevents that is not a good worship design.
Yeah. It'll help our friends to remember that chapter 15 in our book, Saving Christianity, that chapter is devoted to spiritual worship. Mm-hmm. And that chapter describes the word worship in greater detail. Mm-hmm. It says the word worship literally means to bow, to kneel, or to lie on the floor before God in complete submission, humility, and obedience to Him.
Wow.
Now step back for a minute. To bow, to kneel, to lie on the floor before God in complete submission, humility, and obedience to Him. Now, that totally obedient attitude toward God surprises some Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, because we are accustomed to focusing on a group of singers or musicians or speakers on a stage,
that's
instead
right.
of focusing on being submissive and humble and obedient to God.
My goodness.
Right.
And you know, John, just to repeat what you said earlier, I'm not sure many Christians, it would even occur to them to bow, kneel, or lie on the floor before God in complete submission and humility and
right.
obedience. Now, just throw this in sideways, John. I remember when I was a child and my parents took my brother and myself to worship services or worship meetings. There would be a time when the pastor would say, "Let's pray," and everybody would turn in the pew and get down on the floor and lay their faces in the pew and pray that way.
Right.
And I remember doing that as a small child, but you know what? I haven't seen that in many years.
Yes.
I don't know anywhere. Maybe you do. That's doing that today.
Right.
So let's put all of this together. Let's put two principles together that early Christian worship was based on. Number one, it was based on a design that allowed every man, woman, and child, notice child now, actively participate in the worship and to contribute directly to the worship. And second, it was based on this special attitude we're talking about of complete submission, humility, and obedience. And John, if you put those two principles together, that participation in it and that humble attitude about it, you begin to see how completely, totally different today's worship meetings are from early Christian worship meetings.
Yeah, that's right, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So now, Owen, I think it's important. This is a lot of good stuff here that we need to summarize the two worship designs clearly. Not just for our friends, but for me too. Let's repeat our description of the early Christian worship design, and then let's descript today's Christian worship design for them as a comparison. And okay. So I think that, first of all, right, the early Christian design for worship, we've said, was spontaneous, it was informal, it was participating. It had a small group design that met in private homes, and as a result of that, it permitted the free flow of spiritual emotions, of gifts, and experiences by the worshiper.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's now compare that to today's worship.
Mm-hmm.
So the worship design we use today is a pre-planned, formal, observing. It's a large group design that meets in a large building, typically, and it does not permit the free flow of spiritual emotions, gifts, and experiences by the worshiper. Does that sound about right?
Oh, ouch, yeah. Great summaries, John. Well, and again, now, look at that. Those two summaries that you just compared for us. Show us how different early Christian worship was, but let's specify it in five specific key ways. Number one, the early Christian design was a small group design, but today we have a large group design. The early Christian design was a participating design. Even the children participated, but today we have an observing design. The early Christian design worshiped God directly, but today we worship Him indirectly. The early Christian design let people focus on the Holy Spirit. Today we focus on performers on a stage. And finally, number five, the early Christian design let people express spiritual emotions, gifts, and experiences. Today, we prevent that. Our design prevents the expression of spiritual emotions, gifts, and experiences. I often say, what would happen during a morning service today if somebody stood up in the audience and tried to bring a prophecy or just to make a personal statement about what the pastor was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It would be chaos. It would completely blow up the meeting.
Yeah. Oh, and I have to say, that's a disturbing list, isn't mm-hmm. it? But I think it answers the question that we ask at the top of the show today. We open by asking why today's worship meetings don't help Christians grow spiritually. Mm. And now we know the answer.
Yeah.
So today's worship meetings don't help Christians grow spiritually because they don't use the early Christian worship design.
Mm-hmm.
And today's worship design actually prevents, that is, I just, when I hear myself say that, I can't hardly believe it, spiritual growth instead of promoting it.
It's tragic, John, but it's right. I mean, that is true. And I do think that we've solved the mystery. Remember the title of this episode, mm-hmm. episode 31, is The Mystery of Unspiritual Worship. And that's no longer a mystery.
Yeah.
We have unspiritual worship today because we no longer use the early Christian worship design that, I repeat, who gave it to us? The Holy Spirit. And when did he give it to us?
Mm.
On the day that Christianity was founded.
Yeah. And that explains the mystery. Mm. But as we approach the end of the episode, we need to remember that the early Christians had two main guidelines for worship.
Yeah.
I love this.
Mm.
This is from Jesus himself. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's good.
Wow.
And second, they said, where the Holy Spirit is, Paul wrote,
mm-hmm.
there is freedom.
Yep, freedom.
So we need to summarize this episode by asking ourselves, which of the two worship designs we've discussed gives us the best chance to truly worship God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and with the freedom to express spiritual emotions, gifts, and experiences in a submissive attitude toward God? And I think we can all agree
mm-hmm.
that the early Christian design wins hands down.
I think so, John. I think we all agree on that. And just look at it this way. It's logical, and it's common sense, and it's historically accurate to say that the early Christian design for worship gives us the best chance to grow spiritually. But you know, here's what I think could be happening too, John, right now.
Mm.
Some of our friends out in podcast land may be thinking these kinds of thoughts right this second.
Right.
They might be thinking, hold it, wait a minute. Where did today's worship design come from then?
Right.
Why are we using a design that doesn't work?
Exactly.
See, and if any of our friends are thinking those kinds of thoughts, they'll be glad to know that our episodes 4, 5, and 6 in this podcast fully discuss and answer those questions.
Yeah.
So, my thought would be, if they haven't done so yet, friends with having these thoughts can go right back in Spotify, whatever directory they're using, and click on episodes 4, 5, and 6 and listen to them, and they'll fully understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, Owen, that another big question that might be on our listeners' minds is also, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, once we solve the mystery, as it were, because today's worship design is the only one we have.
Well, that is true, is it? I mean, that's a scary thought to look in the mirror and think, well, that's all we have today. So, what are my options?
Right, exactly.
So that is a biggie. And I'll tell you where I come out with this, John, and we've talked about this dozens of times, but let's answer it as honestly and clearly as we can.
Mm-hmm.
What we call institutional Christianity today, those are the established denominations as we know them, and they have a building on every street corner. Institutional Christianity will continue as it is for the indefinite future. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
There are almost 400,000 church buildings. I put church in quotes because Constantine created that word.
Mm-hmm.
There are almost 400,000 church buildings in the United States. And those buildings, hear this, together with their equipment and their fixtures and their land and everything that goes with it, are worth trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Trillions, but that's not enough, because in addition, there are hundreds of thousands of pastors, priests, staff members working in those buildings who expect to be paid for their services. They line up at the pay window on Friday, and they don't expect the check to bounce. and so since nobody knows, I'm absolutely as honest as I can be. Nobody knows what could be done with those thousands of buildings and those thousands of pastors and priests. And so we can safely say that institutional Christianity as we know it will continue as is for, I guess, ever.
Yeah. Well, Owen, that begs the question then. That being true, for those who are listening, where does that leave us, those of us who want to grow spiritually?
Yeah. Where does that leave us? Well, I think where it leaves us, John, is with the principles in our book, Saving Christianity, and the principles in this podcast. You know, we've mentioned that chapters 14, 15, and 16 in the book explain how to worship spiritually and how to grow spiritually, listen, whether or not you attend an institutional local congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And those chapters tell how to form a small group that's separate from a Christian congregation if you're not a member of one, or how to form a small group that's an offshoot of an existing congregation if you are a member of one.
Right. And that's why we always urge our friends to go out on the internet to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or one of the other book sites, and order your personal copy of Saving Christianity. And that will make an important subject. That will be so important for more personal and understandable for you, I promise.
I think so, John. I think so. And then, of course, we've already mentioned, but let's repeat it, our two previous episodes, number 29 and 30, in this podcast, explain in great detail how to form small groups in the first century early Christian format. That's big. A lot of people have small groups. They ain't in the original format. And those two episodes talk about how to express, how to release in your life the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in small group meetings. And then on top of all that, John, our next episode coming up in 2 weeks, episode number 32, is titled The Power of Spiritual Worship. And so our friends are going to have tons and tons of resources telling them exactly what to do.
Right. And I would like to add, Owen, another tip for our friends. We're developing a new retreat experience here at Christian Family Online. For friends who want to know how to worship in the Spirit, we plan to launch that retreat sometime in 2022. And you can read about it on our website by clicking the link labeled The Experience.
The Experience. That's right, John. And John, on a related note, if I may, this is unusual. I'd like to do something that we've never done before on the podcast. This is our second year of the podcast. And we've never mentioned that our friends can make tax-exempt donations to Christian Family Online to support the podcast and support the development of our new retreat. You know, John, to use a term I learned in England, producing the podcast and developing the retreat takes bags of money, as they say in England. And Christian Family Online is a 501c3 public charity, but we don't use advertising or fundraising campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to ask all of our friends to please go to our website at goscpod.com. That means gosavingchristianitypod.com. Click on the link labeled Donate Here, and we'd like them to make a tax-exempt donation to help us keep the podcast going and to help us develop the new retreat. A donation of any amount will be greatly, hugely appreciated, and they will receive a tax-deductible receipt for it by email for their tax records. But now, John, I can see on the big clock on the wall that our time is about up for this episode, so we need to start wrapping things up.
Yeah, okay, friends. And let me just remind you, as we close this episode out, this is episode 31, and there is a script and a recording. If you go to our website, as Owen just said, that's goscpod.com, goscpod.com.
That's right, John. And you know, John, I think this has been an incredible show. I want to say something I hadn't planned to say, but I learned this when I was a corporate trainer. I had a vice president one time. He's in heaven now, but he was a dear friend years ago. And he would always slip in and listen to my training programs over and over and over. So one day over lunch, I asked him why he did that. And he said, because I learned something new each and every time, and the material gets more interesting each and every time. So I'd like to say to our friends, this is, I think, been an incredible show. I can't wait for the next episode. But while all that's happening, you might consider listening to these podcast episodes more than once.
Mm-hmm.
They may be like that vice president. They may mean more to you each time.
Right.
So remember now, our upcoming episode is also going to be on Christian worship. It's going to have the title, The Power of Spiritual Worship. And as we used to say when I was a kid, it's going to be a rip snorter. So I hope all our friends will be listening. But in the meantime, this is Owen Allen.
And this is John Shields, along with Shannon Wolf, our producer.
And we're all praying for you together. May the God of our fathers bless you and keep you and guide you and protect you until we meet again.